Well, the Dow, one of the U.S.'s main stock indices, experienced the worst day of the year on Monday, dropping by 760 points, or 2.9%. Now, after such a dramatic drop, there were a lot of investors wondering, is there a recession or a bear market coming? Well, here to answer that question is Mark Ting, our guide to personal finance and a partner with Foundation Wealth. Hello there, Mark.
Hello.
That was big news when the big drop happened on Monday. What's happened to the market since then?
So if we go back to Friday, so on Friday, the Dow was at 26,500. Then Monday came along. Luckily, I was on vacation like a lot of us were, so we kind of missed it. But the Dow dropped by 760, and then it started to rebound because right now, I looked at it today, we're at 26,400. So we're only about 100 points off. So we recovered most of the losses that we saw in just 3 days. And depending on what happens tomorrow, we might even end up the week in a positive territory. That'd be interesting.
Okay. But I mean, I mentioned the question that a lot of people were asking themselves. Is there a recession or a bear market on the horizon?
Mm-hmm. I get asked that a lot every time there's these big crashes or corrections or whatever you want to call them. And I always answer it the same way. And I say that recessions and bear markets are inevitable. Just like recoveries and bull markets, there always is going to be one on the way as part of the cycle. So I usually say a better question, what people are often thinking is, what conditions cause a recession, and are those conditions present in the current economic environment? So I thought we'd talk about that. The last 11 recessions were caused by one of three events: a spike in commodity prices, the U.S. Federal Reserve aggressively raising rates, or excessively high stock prices. So currently, commodities. We'll start with that one. Commodities are what we call range bound, which means they're not spiking. They're sort of just going sideways. The Fed, the U.S. Fed, they're actually lowering rates. They're not raising rates. And then the last condition, the stock market valuations. So for the S&P 500, we're trading at about a 25-year average, which is 16 times price earnings. So what that tells me is that the stock market isn't cheap nor expensive. So I took that as good news because out of the three conditions that caused the last 11 recessions, none of them are present currently in the markets. But so I would say that to answer the question, I don't believe that in North America a recession is imminent.
Well, it's interesting looking at these conditions. Any tools or other events that have, you know, accurately predicted a next recession?
There's one that a lot of portfolio managers and economists rely on or actually look to. It's not a perfect predictor of a recession, but it's the inverse yield curve. We've actually spoken about this once or twice.
Yes, we have.
It's kind of confusing, but I'll try my best. And what we find is it has the best track record out of everything. So over the last six decades, whenever the yield curve inverted and stayed inverted for at least 3 months, in the next 12 to 24 months, we actually saw the economy enter recession. So,
but we have to explain what it is first, this inverted curve.
Yeah. So the inverted curve under normal conditions, so a non-inverted curve, is where we're at most of the time. And that's when short-term debt pays less than long-term debt. So if you went to your bank or credit union and you asked for a term deposit, a one-year term deposit would pay you less interest than a five-year term deposit. That's under normal conditions. So typically, the longer the term, the more interest one would expect. However, sometimes it doesn't work that way. The yield curve inverts, and that's when the longer-term interest rates are lower than the shorter-term interest rates. And this usually happens if investors believe that economic growth is likely to slow. And I looked at it today, and we're actually in a situation where we are in an inverted yield curve. So that's giving some investors some pause. We've been in it since March.
Okay, giving some pause, but you don't seem too worried about it.
Well,
I mean, could it cause a recession?
Well, it could cause, yeah. It doesn't cause a recession. So
okay,
it's just
not automatically.
Yeah, it kind of foreshadows a recession. Okay. That's what I would say. Okay. The real causes of a recession are usually excess debt, lack of trade, which we're obviously seeing, and policy mistakes made by central banks. The yield curve inverts when investors become anxious, and what they do is they sell their stock positions and they head to the safety of bonds. And they'll often choose the longer-term bonds because longer-term bonds under normal circumstances pay a better return. However, if too many people buy these longer-term bonds compared to the shorter-term bonds, then yields on those bonds at the long end actually collapse, which makes the yield curve invert. Did you get that?
We got on the ship first. Don't nobody else get on here. Yes, I do get that. But I've heard about people that are looking for those safer havens, the bonds, the gold, even the U.S. dollar.
Gold's done really well. Yeah. U.S. dollars. People just shift. We call it a risk on, risk off trade.
Okay. So you've got to be watching what's going on south of the border in these U.S. elections. How do you think all of that's going to affect the economy overall and the stock markets? It appears so volatile when the president can get on Twitter and send out a tweet and China has to react to that.
Yeah. So, I mean, we look at election years and election years are typically favorable for the stock market. If we went back in history over the 21 past elections, there were only 3 years where the S&P 500 index had negative returns. So I guess heading into 2020 elections, so we're talking about Trump, it's in his interest to have a strong stock market. He wants the economy to do well. That's what he's going to base his campaign on. He's going to take credit for it, obviously. So really, There's a big incentive for him to get a trade deal done with China. For one, it's going to solidify or improve his reputation as a great deal maker. Also, it's the global economy is at stake. And right now it's slowing, but if he gets a major trade deal in place, it could be a catalyst to get it moving again. And if that were to happen, the economy would continue to grow, which usually translates into higher stock prices.
Okay. Now, we have had the discussion about how likely a recession will be at some point.
Yeah.
When? Like, what would be your best guesstimate of when this could happen, just in light of, you know, the current landscape?
So based on what we've spoken about, how those three conditions are not present currently, I see that as a positive. On the sort of the negative side, we see that the yield curve is inverted presently, but there's always that delay. There's like that 12 to 24 month delay. And so if I account for the 12 to 20 month delay between the recession and the inverted yield curve, plus the economic data being pretty good, plus it's been an election year, my guess is that probably we won't see a recession for another two and a half year. I would say after the election has taken place, we got the new president in, if it is a new president, and then we can go from there. But no one really knows. These are just guesses. The variables change all the time. But right now, I just don't see it happening. I don't think we're going to be in recession tomorrow.
Mark, thank you very much for coming by.
Thank you.
That's Mark Ting. He is our guide to personal finance. He's a partner at Foundation Wealth, and he joins us every week at this time. If you have an idea for a topic that you'd like to explore or you'd like Mark to explore here on the show, you can always send us an email, onthecoast@cbc.ca. onthecoast@cbc.ca.